Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation. The Eternal Light.
The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, The Choice, was written by Joseph Mendel. This is a story of Poland in the year 1648. The events are past, the people almost forgotten, and yet the happenings are not 300 years removed from us, and those of another generation are nevertheless our contemporaries.
Let us finish the service. Don't open the synagogue door.
Joshua, it must be an urgent matter.
Open the door. You've got them, Hogan.
Joshua.
All right, Daniel, unbar the door. What? Your shoulder, it's covered with blood. Daniel, bring some water.
No, don't waste time. I'm one of the lucky ones. I escaped.
What happened? Tell us.
Vinitsky and his Cossacks. Burning, looting, killing. Well, what are you all waiting for? Run!
I will remain here a while.
Joshua, there isn't time.
Come with us. Go if you like. I will decide later what is best to do. First, I must finish my prayers.
Ode Hashem Bechol Libi Asa Prokol Niflosehu.
Happy is the man that hath not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor sat in the way of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And he shall be like a tree planted by streams of water, that bringeth forth its fruit in its season, and whose leaf doth not wither. His name was Joshua. He was a scholar and a man respected for his judgment and wisdom. On this day, when the Cossacks burned the neighboring villages, he recited the prayers and sang the first psalm, and the people listened. And when he had finished, he said,
Now we will talk.
There's nothing to talk about. We'll stay here. The synagogue walls are thick.
Don't be a fool, Daniel. I told you it's Khmelnytsky.
The Polish army will come.
He's already beaten the Polish army. His Cossacks kill Poles and Jews with equal pleasure.
Maybe he'll turn aside before he reaches us.
Oh, Daniel, stop hoping for impossible things.
We have a few guns. We'll fight.
He has 1,000 guns and cannons and Cossacks on wild horses. Joshua, what can you say against such stubbornness?
Daniel, he's right.
No, Joshua. It's not right to run away instead of fighting to defend ourselves.
I'm not saying that it's wrong to fight. Only that now it's hopeless.
Even so.
We are forbidden to risk our lives to no purpose.
For our homes, our synagogue, for the Torah, is that to no purpose?
We cannot save them. Therefore, we must leave. Daniel, it's written, and thou shalt preserve thy life. Then we'll be able to preserve the Torah.
Roy. We're going with you.
No, Daniel, you can travel faster without me.
You don't understand. He didn't ask if we might.
It's a needless risk for you.
That is for us to judge. Joshua, in other matters, I defer to your judgment. This is a question of escaping from the Cossacks. We'll go with you.
Thank you, Daniel. I won't say no.
Good. Is this your pack, Joshua? It's heavy.
My books are in it.
Books? It should be filled with food.
Don't complain, Daniel. He warned us. Besides, we can eat berries from the field. Books don't grow on trees.
Oh, I'm not complaining, Naomi. Here. You carry my gun.
Books and a gun.
I'm following your advice.
Are you?
Just as it's written. Thou shalt preserve thy life. You preserve the Torah.
I will give thanks unto the Lord with my whole heart. I will tell of all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and exult in thee. I will sing praises to thy name.
Softly, Joshua, softly. It's dark, but they may hear. Even now you praise his marvelous works.
Even now, Daniel.
Then you must be blind, or else you live in another world.
Last week, you sang the words yourself in the synagogue.
Last week was before Khmelnytsky, before the synagogue was burned down.
But even then you trembled before the Polish owner of the village and worked from before morning till after dark for barely enough to buy bread for you and Naomi. Even then you wondered if the Cossacks, without Khmelnytsky, would batter down the door during the night. Was this a world of good?
Joshua...
Yet last week, you sang the words.
Maybe I didn't hear them as I sang, or understand them.
Then sing them again, and listen. And you sing too, Naomi.
Oh, Hashem, behold me.
I can't, Naomi. No, I can't. But don't you stop. I want to listen.
They traveled to the city of Tulchin. Joshua, Daniel, and his wife Naomi. Now this is written down. When Khmelnytsky's army came close to the city, 600 Poles and 2,000 Jews were crowded behind its high walls and watchtowers. There was much confusion, and among the Jews, strange talk.
It is happening just as it was written in the books of the Kabbalah. Oh, we should rejoice.
I don't know anything about Kabbalah, but how can I rejoice at being torn apart by wild Cossacks?
Simpleton, don't you know what year it is?
All I can think is that the Cossacks fight the Poles and we are in the middle.
This is the year prophesied by the Holy Ari.
What year?
And these are the wars of Gog and Magog. And what comes after? Well, surely you know.
Oh, of course.
This is the year of the redemption. The beginning of the Messianic days.
Well, then there's no need to worry about Khmelnytsky. We don't have to run further.
Run or stay, it's all the same. When the redemption begins, oh, what miracles we'll see.
It's certain, since it was all written in books.
Long ago. I'll explain it to you.
Yeah.
Now, the letters, the word Zaz, are numerically equal...
Tell me something.
Huh?
How can you be sure that Khmelnytsky has read the books?
Joke if you like, Daniel. The prophecy was made.
We ran away from our homes. I left everything behind, but I kept my gun. Now's the time to use it.
Daniel, be a hero for yourself, not for us.
You won't fight even to save your life.
There is no need to run nor to fight. Ask Joshua.
Joshua?
It is in the books, Daniel.
What?
The miracles and the redemption.
Joshua, I've taken your advice before, and it was good. But even if you command it, I won't run anymore.
There's no need, I tell you. We'll stay here.
with faith in the prophecy, as Joshua says.
Yeah. You have not heard what I say. Foolish people, how can I make you understand? Do you remember, it is also written, and Isaac sowed in the land and reaped a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. Don't you see? The harvest was not from the blessing, but from the work.
Oh, you're talking about a different thing, Joshua.
No, the meaning is the same. God dislikes miracles. Isn't the real miracle when men do God's work?
They gathered the few guns and all the axes and scythes and pikes. Still, there was only one weapon for every three men. Then they sent Daniel to speak to the leader of the Poles.
I think you have no choice, Prince Casimir.
I am a Polish prince. Use the proper form of address.
This is a strange time to insist on formalities, Your Highness.
That's better.
Will you fight or surrender to Khmelnytsky?
You know, we have no choice. He hates us Poles almost as much as...
Almost as much as us Jews.
We Poles and you Jews will swear an oath to each other to defend the city to the last man.
For us, it hardly seems necessary, but if you like, we'll swear.
We're short of weapons. Will you share with us?
Gladly. Look here and take your pick.
What are your women doing on the walls of the city?
They're piling boulders and boiling kettles of water and oil.
Polish soldiers are not accustomed to such weapons.
Neither are we. But, Your Highness, we expect to learn. Naomi. I haven't looked at you, really looked at you, for 2 weeks. You're pale.
It's nothing, Daniel. I'm tired.
Rest for a while. Eat something.
I ate my portion for today hours ago.
Strange. Since the Cossacks surrounded the city, I've been neither tired nor hungry. There's so much work to be done.
You're proud of your work, aren't you, Daniel?
Joshua, the Cossacks no longer attack the walls, but wait, hoping to starve us out. They're afraid, Joshua. Afraid of Jews who used to be herded like sheep in the town. Why shouldn't we be proud?
To be proud of killing.
They're ruthless, murdering Cossacks.
They're men. And you're killing.
You said we must fight.
I still say it.
Joshua, we must be practical. It's a world of wickedness and of wild beasts. Sometimes we must become a little like the beasts in order to survive.
Is that what you want?
But don't you?
I want to survive. As a man.
Daniel, how will it end? How can it end?
I don't think of the end, Naomi. Only of today and what must be done.
Daniel, maybe it's just that I'm so tired, but if we should be separated, look for me.
Naomi, what are you saying? We won't be separated.
We're ready, Daniel.
I'm coming.
Where are you going?
To get food from Khmelnytsky's Cossacks. They drive their cattle to the river to drink.
Daniel.
No, don't say anything, Naomi. Joshua, look after her. Open the gate!
A strange sound rose from the besieged city. The sound of grace. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who givest food to all. For 4 weeks, the siege continued. Then one day, Prince Casimir told Daniel of a message he had received.
It came under a flag of truce.
We saw no messengers and no flag.
It was at night on the Polish side of the city. Khmelnytsky is willing to abandon the siege.
Then let him go. Yes, no need to send a message.
There are conditions.
We took an oath to defend the city.
You don't have to remind me. You might listen to the conditions.
Is this all you have to say? I have work to do.
The Cossacks can remain out there indefinitely. You owe it to your people to listen.
What does he say?
Smelnitsky will accept your possession as ransom and let you go free.
Mm-hmm. And you?
Huh? Oh, yes. Yes, of course. We too will go free.
If there's nothing else, you'll excuse me. As I said, I have work to do.
Don't be too hasty.
We're not simple-minded. Why should we trust Khmelnytsky to keep his word?
Don't you see? This opens a new source of wealth to him. If he can get ransom for all the Jews in Poland...
Not the Poles?
Khmelnytsky can afford to be honest about ransom. It's good business. Take the message to your people.
Yes. We'll talk about it tonight. I'll bring you the answer in the morning. We accept Khmelnytsky's terms, Prince Casimir.
Good.
Our possessions, the ransom, is in these baskets.
There's one more condition.
We have nothing else.
You have something else.
What? Your weapon.
No!
What?
You've been betrayed!
Let him go, Daniel! You don't know what you're doing! Let him go!
Maybe Khmelnytsky will take the ransom and let us go.
You know he won't.
You don't believe that, Joshua?
No. No, Daniel, I don't.
Yet that's what you want us to do?
Yes.
You must have a reason.
We can't fight the Cossacks outside and the Poles in the city.
We don't have to. We outnumber the Poles, you know that.
What are you saying, Daniel?
I'm not afraid to say it. We'll kill them so that we can fight the Cossacks.
How much like beasts can we become and still want to survive?
Joshua, you're not analyzing philosophical problems. This is a question of human life.
Let us accept the terms.
Once we open the gates, they'll slaughter us as they murdered the Jews of Nemiro.
How are we better than the Jews of Nemiro?
Joshua, what do you mean?
We are not alone. We owe a responsibility to all the Jews of Poland.
And we fulfill it by fighting here.
Daniel, we can fight on only if we kill the Poles in the city.
Then we'll do it.
If we do, Jews will be slaughtered in every city in Poland. Daniel, we are not alone, even here in Tulsk.
Joshua, have you forgotten? Thou shalt preserve thy life.
Every man must pay a price for his life. You know the price of your life. Are you willing to pay it? Answer me.
It is not a question that a man should be called upon to answer.
And yet, who else, Daniel? Who else can answer?
Post on the other side. Move when you're told.
I'm Prince Casimir.
Must I use my whip? No! Toast to this side. Post on the other.
I'm afraid, Naomi.
Don't wish for death, Naomi.
I'm not, Joshua.
Oh, dear Hashem, the holy be for suffering.
The forms lay still in the fields outside the city. All day they lay, and when it grew dark, a few, a pitiful few, moved, accidentally alive. Joshua and Daniel were among them.
Joshua, I've looked in all the fields. I can't find Naomi.
Come, Daniel.
No, I look again.
You've looked three times.
You don't understand. I have to find her.
It's no use.
Then go. I'll stay here.
It won't help. Come, Daniel.
In the dark, they passed other shapes that hardly dared to breathe, that kept looking and asking in whispers.
Miriam, my daughter, have you seen her? She's only 11. Black hair and clear brow.
Son, please tell him that you saw me.
Her name is Naomi. She's pale. Very pale.
They walked far that night. and before day they hid deep in a forest. After Joshua recited the morning prayers, he sang the psalm.
Stop it. Stop it.
I'm sorry, Daniel.
You can't sing it now with your whole heart.
I'm not saying the words for you. Only for myself.
Even for you, they're lies. You're deceiving God.
That would be foolish, Daniel. If I can't deceive you, how can I hope to deceive God?
What monstrous thing are you doing?
I am choosing the kind of world in which I want to survive.
It's not in your power to choose.
It is, Daniel. Happy is the man that hath not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor sat in the way of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. I can choose.
But the world doesn't have to follow your choice.
Even if the wicked succeed and the world is all evil, does that mean that I must be evil?
I don't know.
Daniel, if the Poles betray me, must I take vengeance upon them?
Joshua, I think I understand what you're saying, but I can't live that way.
I'm not asking you to. What I said was for myself.
Then what are you asking?
Nothing.
I'm not a saint.
You don't have to be. Only, Daniel.
Yes, Joshua?
You must find a path to walk so that the world you live in is a world of your choosing.
They went to the city of Lublin. The streets were crowded with refugees from every town in Poland. But few wished to remain. Some would have liked to go to Jerusalem. The Sultan of Turkey forbade them. Others wanted to settle in Austria. The Emperor did not permit. A handful reached Italy or Holland. Joshua remained in Lublin because that was the path he chose to walk. Daniel remained and looked at the faces of the people in the streets, searching without rest. On a day when the streets were strangely quiet and empty, he heard a song.
Daniel?
Naomi. Naomi! Joshua, I've brought my pack.
There's no gun this time, Daniel.
No. But don't think I have any illusions.
A man is entitled to a few illusions.
We've survived. You, Naomi, and I, a few others. We've survived this time. But there will be a next time.
Are you afraid?
What can I defend with my gun? My life? I gave it up once. Joshua, we've been talking, Naomi and I.
And you're going to leave?
No. We want to stay with you.
Naomi, Daniel, I told you once before, it's a needless risk for you.
I'm not concerned with safety.
I think I know what you want.
Do you? I only know that I don't want to live like a wild beast in a forest of beasts.
And, Daniel, I think I cannot help you.
Joshua, it's hard to be a man and choose your own world and live in it. But I shall learn to make my choice.
And he shall be like a tree planted by streams of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season, and whose leaf doth not wither.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Maxwell Abel, President of the United Synagogue of America and a member of the board of directors of the Jewish Theological Seminary, Mr. Abel.
In the story you have just heard, Joshua, despite the treachery and brutality about him, insisted on his God-given right and power to choose the kind of world in which he wished to survive. The Jewish people have faced this bitter problem, now confronting the entire world, for almost 3,000 years. It has survived because of its inner strength, derived from its faith in God and devotion to the lofty precepts and ideals of its prophets, a faith and devotion nurtured through the ages by its emphasis on religious and ethical education. From time immemorial, the Jew has realized that the school is the tried and tested instrument in the struggle to preserve his faith. He therefore gave education a top priority above all other needs and interests. He must do so in America if the American Jew is to maintain his faith and preserve his great heritage. Jewish education in America is concerned primarily with the spiritual and cultural welfare of the Jews, not being unmindful of the larger needs and problems of the entire community. The United States has served in the difficult pioneering role of a social laboratory. It has broadened human loyalties, finding ways and means of building bridges of understanding and appreciation among its various religious and ethnic elements. Variety of races and cultures places additional burdens upon our society, but all that is worthy in American heritage has been achieved in the face of obstacles and difficulties. To evolve a truly democratic American society, there must be a readiness to cultivate broader sympathies through daily contact with various expressions of the human spirit, religion, folkways, and cultural tradition. Those interested in Jewish education have an abiding love for the cultural and religious traditions of their people. At the same time, we feel that we are fostering a loyalty not only to Judaism, but also to the finest elements in the American heritage, nurtured as it was in the tradition of the Old Testament. In these trying days, we too need be reinforced in our faith. As Jews, we have but one choice, namely to deepen and strengthen the knowledge and practice of Torah, of Jewish education. As American Jews, we must help give deeper meaning and spiritual values to the entire community, but particularly so to our leaders, that they may guide the destinies of mankind toward a world of brotherhood and universal peace.
Thank you, Mr. Abel. Our Eternal Light drama today, The Choice, was written by Joseph Mindell. Cantor Robert H. Siegel was the vocal soloist. Featured were Roger DeCoven as Joshua, Teresa Keane as Naomi, and Alexander Scourby as Daniel. The production was under the direction of Edward King. This is Mel Brent speaking. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.